Musers camp out from deep in the woods. It's Giorgio here. Gordo's going to stick around, I guess, for a little bit before he heads out to bed.
Hell yeah, I love country.
This is the Texas Music Extravaganza. When we have the compound or the ticket camp out, gives us all a chance to talk about something that we really like, something that we're passionate about. And I'm passionate about Texas music, and I've admitted before I'm very new to the party. About 5 or 6 years ago, I actually got turned on to the music of people like Wade Bowen and Randy Rogers from my kids, and it totally changed the way I looked at music. When I saw Brady Black play live for the first time with the Randy Rogers band and heard Wade Bowen songs and Randy songs, Casey Donahue, Jason Bolan, Chris Knight, guys like that, it just really changed the way I looked at music, and it encouraged me to start playing music again, encouraged me to pick up my fiddle again, pick up my guitar, actually start writing, hadn't written music in 20 years or so. And it's just a really neat scene, and those who are a part of it, those who go to the concerts, know exactly what I'm talking about, because I was a new waver back in high school, almost borderline punk rocker, had my hair blitzed and loved The Alarm and U2 and stuff like that. And part of the thing that I liked about that music was, to me, it was very different. And that's what struck me about Texas music. It was very different. It's not the country music that you hear that's so homogenized and, in many cases, generic out of Nashville. Not all the Nashville stuff is like that. Some of it's very good. But the Texas music scene also has a passion about it. The people that follow it, that go to the concerts. You go to a concert by Wade Bowen or Randy Rogers, and you will have an absolute blast. The performances are incredible. The bands are amazing. And the fans remind me of being at the Bronco Bowl in 1983 watching U2. It's that kind of energy. It's really a cool scene. So for, I don't know, until it's time to go to bed, for the next 45 minutes or so, we'll roll some Texas music and talk some Texas music. The great Brady Black, fiddle player for the Randy Rogers Band, I think he's going to join us here in about 30 minutes or so. And TC, we got him on the line right now, our first guest. But joining us right now from Nashville, Tennessee, where he's doing some writing and recording, is the man you've been hearing for the last couple of minutes, the great Wade Bowen. Evening.
Good morning.
Almost morning. I guess it is almost morning up there, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. How you doing, guys?
We're doing well. Thanks for coming on with us tonight on very short notice.
Yeah, man.
Wade's got some new music out.
I'm happy to do it.
Well, we had to have you on because the first ticket camp out we did, you were nice enough to roll your bus by, and you actually played live on our morning show on your way to Billy Bob's a couple of years ago. So we figured if we're going to do a Texas music show, we had to put Wade Bowen on.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I need to come back out there again.
Yeah, you do. You're in Nashville. What exactly are you doing in Nashville?
Man, I'm just, working as always. This is where all of my business stuff is. So I'm up here working on the new record that we're trying to release and get that out. And then I'm working on writing. And I'm always writing, so I just kind of use these opportunities to write whenever I can.
Your single, Saturday Night, did really well in the Texas chart. Do believe it made it up to number one. It's also gotten some great play around the country. You've had some breakthrough songs here the last 5 or 6 years, but that maybe broke through some walls that you haven't been able to break through before, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never gotten nationwide play like that. I mean, we've had a little bit here and there, but when you break top 40 with a single, you realize how many more people you're actually reaching with your music across the country. And man, that's been the biggest difference on the single. And I guess that comes with the territory of being with a name like Sony, who can do those things for you. And that was what we were hoping for when we signed the record deal and have the opportunity to take what we've been doing for 14 years and take it out to everybody else.
So when is the new record going to be ready and mastered and out?
Well, the record will be out. We're May 29th. It's kind of a tricky situation because we're we're doing a the record itself is actually 14 songs. We're releasing 10 brand new songs on May 29th because the label. It's such a weird world we live in right now, man. Trying to sell records and CD sales and everything being so down and drastic as they are, people are trying to create and come up with new ways to sell stuff. So they were kind of wanting to wait for a while to make sure that they, you know, and the rest of the country. I'm a brand new country artist, you know, and so they're trying to build it and manufacture it properly and all those things, man. And we just kind of went to them and said, look, our fans need something new. They've been waiting for a record for a while, and we need something out there. So they were kind enough to work with us on a solution here. So we're bringing 10 brand new songs, and then we'll re-release a full version later on. But 10 brand new songs is pretty much a full album. So
yeah, and you know, as I mentioned, I don't know if you heard the outset of the program when I got started. When I got turned on to your music and Randy's music and Casey's and a number of others, Jason Bolan, the thing that struck me about it for country music was that it was different. And it as you try to break through some of those barriers around the country on, you know, getting play on, say, a country station in Indianapolis, it's amazed me that that songs that you've had and Randy have not broken through more on the national scene. And to me, that has to do a lot with the whole business structure and how it's done. And I certainly don't understand it all, but it's just it's a little surprising to me and that it's been that way. Is it like that in other pockets of the country, do you think, that you know, there's like a Georgia music scene and a, I don't know, a Missouri music scene, and those guys don't break through either?
Well, I think there's little music scenes all over. I think Georgia has a good, you know, country music scene that they do. I think there's little places like that. I don't think it's quite the magnitude that Texas has. I think this region is insane. And everywhere I go, they talk about how this region is crazy, how bands can tour and play down here and make a killing and make a great living for their families and their bands. And I think that's the one thing that's shocking for people, especially when they come down and see it and see the shows and see the bars and see the venues and all that comes with the Texas scene. But, you know, as far as getting everything out nationally, man, I mean, it's just, it really is business, and there's so many other factors that come into it. I mean, it's just surprising how many people just don't hear it. They just don't know it. And it's not for lack of effort or anything. It's just, you know, you're talking about a big thing. I mean, that's a big country to try to do all by yourself. And so that's the beauty of having a major label behind you that has that power to do those things. And I've been lucky that, you know, they approached me with stuff that says, hey, we love what you're doing. We don't want to change it. We just want to help you. And I think that's the way they've been with Randy and his band. Even, you know, they made him not had a huge number one hit on the Billboard charts or anything, but their mass appeal across the country and across the world has just grown like crazy because of the exposure and all the things that they can get with having the name, the universal name attached to their band name. So hopefully it helps us all.
This is Wade Bowen with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. It's a Texas music extravaganza here from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. All right, so when did you first think that, I'm a pretty good songwriter. I think I know what I'm doing here. What point did you cross that line that you thought, I can do this?
Well, you know, I still wonder that many days. You still have days where you question it. That's the beauty of songwriting. It's like, you know, it's just like everything else, man. You have good days and bad days. But I remember very early on when there was a changing point in my songwriting when I wrote a song called Mystery of a Woman that was done for the Blue Light Live record that I did when I was in Lubbock, and it was brand new. We were just starting out playing, and I'd made a few little independent records, but when I wrote Mystery Woman, I remember after finishing that song going, this is the way that I need to focus on writing. It's not all straight ahead. It's not all just black and white on paper. You know, you create moods, create moments, and And so that's what I've been trying to do since that song. I still am proud of it. And there's a lot of stuff in those early days that I look back and I'm not very proud of it, you know, but that song to me was the changing of the tides, I guess you could say, because I just remember from there on out thinking, okay, don't just put a line in there because you think it's cool. Make sure it fits the song, and can you say it differently, and how are you going to say it differently? And so I've ever since then, I've been trying really hard to do that and take lines and just try to say them in a way that's unique to me and only me.
Well, I think you're awesome. You certainly touched my soul when I first started listening to you. I got the song rolling, Turn on the Lights, from If We Ever Make It Home. In my personal opinion, that's my favorite Wade Bowen song, and I know there's a special story behind it with your wife going through postpartum syndrome, and that's become a cause for you. It's amazing how a song is turned into, you know, a storyline that is touched more than just music fans.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it was, you know, and as a songwriter, I feel like my duty is to write about the things that happen in my life, and whether that be good or bad, I just always have to write about them. It's just what comes out naturally, and so this was obviously a really horrible time in our lives, and the only way I knew to deal with it and the only way I knew to convey to her of how I felt and what was going on was to write a song about it. And this song was hard to listen to. It was hard to write and it's hard to listen to, but I really believe that this song saved us. It saved, it helped us both understand what we were both going through, and it still is a favorite of my kids, and they don't even know the meaning, true meaning behind it, but something about the song was just always special. And it's very rare that you have songs like that, that they just kind of happen. They come along and you just go, wow, that was, I don't know how or why that song was written and how it came to be, but you just know it's special. And I just knew from the moment that I finished that song that it was going to be one of those. And you know, we feel for anybody that goes through that I think that more, you know, hospitals and everyone in general needs to take care of women that after childbirth, not just hand them a baby and say, there you go take care of it. I mean, there's a lot of things and a lot of emotional stuff that comes with that. Even if you don't hit full postpartum depression, there's a lot that comes with it, man. So I'm glad that we could help raise awareness, and glad that we could take our experience and help others.
Something that personal, was it easier to write that song, or was it more difficult because you wanted to make it just right and get the message that you were trying to convey?
Well, it was hard for me with this one because it was so personal, and you knew that I knew that it was going to be heard by her, and I was really, you know, touchy. I just was really scared of how her reaction was going to be, and you hear it in the song of how, you know, what a miserable time that was for her, and how difficult it was on her. So I was scared for that. That's the first time I've ever felt that way. I mean, I write songs about my wife all the time. I tell her all the time she's a walking song. I mean, everything she does and everything about her just creates these moods that people want to write songs about her. And you know, I this one was just one of those, though, that I was really, really was the whole entire time thinking, man, you know, I want to make sure I get this right and make sure I don't offend her, or just make sure it's said the way that it should be. And I tried really hard to keep it, you know, very tasteful and classy and not offensive or crude.
That's sometimes the toughest audience, isn't it, when you break it on the family, hey, here's a new song I wrote, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially when, you know, you write something that's not even about her. It's a song about a woman that's doing this or doing that, and she's, you know, who is that? Why'd you write that? Because everything with me is, a lot of times it's always like, man, she knows that I write a lot from the heart, and I'm very heartfelt with everything I say and do, and so, but every now and then you just find a cool melody and you just write a song. I mean, it's not, doesn't have to be Turn on the Lights. Not every song has to be that in-depth or that emotional, and thank God they're not, you know. But sometimes you just write a random song about cheating or something, and, you know, I always get questioned, well, who is that? Why'd you write that, you know?
That's so a random thought, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so when you're driving around, you got your iPad working. What are you listening to?
Man, I listen to anything and everything, and like right now I go through spurts of, like, when I get in, and I wouldn't say I'm in a writer's drought. I just kind of went for a few months without writing. I kind of shut down for a while because I wrote so much. leading up through the end of last year. So I just shut down for a few months to kind of clear my mind and so that I would want, I always kind of wait for those moments when I want to write again, when things start piling up in my mind and I just kind of have, it just kind of starts, you know, falling out. And so when I do that, I usually start stirring up, listening to different things that I don't normally listen to. I mean, I always have, you know, Chris Knight and Springsteen and Patty Griffin on my iPod. That's usually my default people that I go listen to. But I discovered a band called The Dawes, D-A-W-S, that are really cool. I actually took a listen to the new Josh Abbott record this week because it came out, so yeah. I was anxious to hear what he and his band had done. I always listen to a lot of Will Hogue, who I think is a credible singer-songwriter that really needs to be heard by people. And
yeah, I got to see you with him last year at the Granada. That was all. That's how I discovered him, was through you. He is awesome.
Yeah, man, he's an independent kind of rock and roll guy, but he's on tour with Eli Young Band and Dierks Bentley, and that's very rare for independent guys to get those kind of slots, and that just shows you how good he really is.
Yeah. All right, so when you coming back through the Metroplex? You're playing in Addison, aren't you, in later this month in May, or is that June?
You know what, George, I have a hard time.
I catch you without your tour thing in front of you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I have a hard time. No, it's fine, man. It's just the way it is. It's my life. You know, the worst feeling, though, is when you get asked where you were last night and you can't remember. And it happens all the time.
Yeah, how many dates you do a year? Are you over 200 a year?
We're about 180.
Yeah. That's enough, yeah, isn't it?
Which doesn't include these days. Like, you know, this week I've been gone the whole week up here in Nashville. It doesn't include those days. So it's a lot, man, but it's what we have to do.
I will find out when that is. I was thinking you were playing Addison, that Taste of Addison thing, but maybe not. I'm thinking that you are, and I think that's later this month, but I'll chase that down at some point here.
You're right.
Yeah, during the Texas Music Extravaganza. But I wanted to get you on, man, and talk to you again. Hadn't seen you in a while, and look forward to catching up with you sometime soon. Good luck with the record, and thanks for coming back on the Ticket with us.
Man, I'll be happy to visit with you anytime, so thanks for the phone call, and you guys, good luck. Get some sleep out there just a little bit. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
All right, we'll try, man. We'll see you.
All right, thanks so much.
That is the great Wade Bowen. If you haven't heard his work before, check him out, wadebowen.com. He's on iTunes. As he mentioned, his album comes out later this month. His single, Saturday Night, did very well in the Texas chart, got some play nationwide. He has got a great voice, really unique voice, and he is an awesome singer-songwriter. The Texas fans listening right now know all about Wade Bowen, but if you've never heard of him before, check him out. He's got some amazing ballads. That song we talk about, Turn on the Lights, I think that's, of all the Texas music that I've listened to and poured over the last few years, I think that is the prettiest song that I've heard by the great Wade Bowen. All right, maybe we'll go to some phonage coming up next. We do have the great Brady Black from the Randy Rogers Band coming up here at 10:30. It's the Texas Music Extravaganza here from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout on the Ticket. Got 10 right here. Yeah, I'll do Tony. It's George Hill with the Late Night Ticket Texas Music Extravaganza here from the Woodford Reserve Musers Camp Out. We're out here in the woods. Everyone else has gone to bed. And I'm rolling some Texas music. I talk about it from time to time on the Dunham and Miller Show, and we will be doing our show here live tomorrow morning from 5:30 to 10. But it really is one of the things that I'm really passionate about. I just love music, and I love Texas music. And because of people like Randy Rogers and Wade Bowen, who just joined us a moment ago, I started picking up a guitar and my fiddle again and started playing again, started loving music again. I don't know, I'd kind of been away from it for a while, just casually listening to music every once in a while, but I grew up in a musical family and it's always been a big part of my life. And really glad that I stumbled onto some of this music about 5 or 6 years ago. As I've told Brady Black and Randy Rogers before, They changed the way I looked at music. And the great Brady Black, the fiddle player for the Randy Rogers Band, is going to be with us here in about 5 minutes or so. And I mentioned it inspired me. It's always a weird thing to talk about your band on the air, and I've talked about it, you know, a few times. If we're playing what I think is a really notable gig, I'll mention it on our show. But I don't know. I just feel kind of funny about doing it, so I don't always mention what the Bird Dogs are doing. But that's been another great joy here the last, when did we first start? 2007, so 5 years. But I play with Steve Porcari on guitar, Clay Powers on steel, Travis Beal on bass, Pablo on drums. They're a good bunch of dudes. They're really good musicians. And here in the last 5 years, we've been able to do some really cool stuff. We've recorded 2 CDs, something I thought I'd never do and couldn't have done without them. And here in the last 5 years, we've been able to open for people like Randy Rogers, play in gigs with Jason Bolan, Wade Bowen. This past Saturday, we got to play at the Real Texas Festival in Mesquite and got to play, I guess, in essence, open for Pat Green, a Texas music legend. So it was really cool, some of the stuff we've been able to do here the last 5 years or so. And I guess that's maybe one of the reasons why I don't always mention it on the air. I just kind of want it to stand on its own. And whatever we do, if we just play twice a year in a small bar, then that's fine. I don't always, mention it to put it out there. I don't know. You just feel weird about it. But anyway, because of people like Randy and Wade, that's why the Bird Dogs exist. And it's brought me a lot of happiness here the last 4 or 5 years. All right, Brady Black coming up here in the next few minutes. Right now, I do believe we have a couple of callers to Sports Caller USA. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, in the Texas Music Extravaganza. Hello? Sports Caller? Oh, let's go to Blake and Denison. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Hey, George. Blake here from Denison. Appreciate what all you're doing and supporting this Texas country music. Love the Bird Dogs, and actually saw Wade Bowen in college when he was playing at a Mother's Hamburger place in Lubbock, handing out free shots to the crowd. And it was back on that old Blue Light Live CD, so great stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say is if you haven't heard of Max Stalling, I'm on the range quite a bit.
Absolutely. Max is great.
Smoothest songwriters from the heart. One of the best things, you sit back, listen to a Max Stalling song, it'll put your mind at ease.
So. No doubt. Yeah, Max is great. In fact, we got to play with him last month in Denton at Dan Silverleaf and got to meet Max. He is actually a P1, and you're right, man, he's got a really smooth voice, great delivery, great live show, too. He's got a really nice band around him, does a really good show. What's that?
I love the real bass, and you know he really is good, and he sings from the heart, and supporting radio stations other than The Ticket. The only other one I listen to is 95.3 The Range, and they do a lot for that Texas country scene, and as do y'all with the support that the Bird Dogs and everyone else does. But just want to say appreciate it, love the shows, and y'all keep it safe out there.
All right, Blake, thanks. Yeah, you mentioned that's one thing about The Ticket. We've never been afraid to talk about other radio stations, either good or bad. And you mentioned The Range. So mentioned my friend Josh Jones over there, who does an incredible job in running that station. He's been really good to my little band and has given us some airplay. And so has Justin Frizzell, who used to be at The Wolf. He's now at 95.9 The Ranch in Fort Worth. And Kevin McCoy over there actually used to work for The Ticket, used to be a co-worker of ours, and he's been really kind to us, too. And, those stations are really true to Texas music and do play Texas music. Some stations claim to play it, but they really do play it. All right, we have another sports caller from the United States on the line. Mitchell, you're on The Ticket. Talk to us.
Just wanted to thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
And, George, first things first, I got to make an apology. I got to say, I'm sorry for kicking you in the nuts every Friday morning. Hey, George, I'm just one of them, one of many. But
that's all right.
Hey, man, you said Brady and all these guys, all these Texas music guys changed the way that you listen to country music. I think that for a lot of people in North Texas, you really changed the way that that they listen to radio. So with your, you know, awesome on-air ability. But anyways, I got a couple questions for you. For a young man starting to learn to play fiddle or wanting to play fiddle, what's a good model of fiddle to purchase to learn on?
You know what? I'll ask Brady because I'm kind of ignorant on that too. I've got the same violin/fiddle that I got in fourth grade.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah. And I'm sure there's a good brand out there to go with. You mean just for like the beginner?
Yeah, just you know, for somebody, something easy to learn on.
Yeah.
Something that you can, you know, you can saw on that, you know, won't be too difficult or complicated. But yeah, I mean, if you don't have anything, just
yeah, I'll ask Brady
when he comes on.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll ask him.
Also, tell Brady that I'll see him Saturday in Austin.
Oh, Nutty Brown, is that where they're playing?
Or it's Lone Star Jams.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right there, the Texas Law School, right there on the lawn.
Nice.
But, tell him to look for the dingus and the red poncho.
All right, I'll tell him. All right, Mitchell, thanks for the call. All right. Yes, the great Brady Black from the Randy Rogers Band is coming up next. It's the Texas Music Extravaganza here from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout on the ticket.
I got 10 right here. Yeah, I'll do Tony.
It's the Texas Music Extravaganza from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout here deep in the woods. Everyone else has gone to bed, but I'm up spinning some Texas music and talking to some of the great names in Texas music, including Wade Bowen, who joined us about 30 minutes ago or so. And on the line now is the man I told you about that changed the way that I look at music, changed the way that I looked at my fiddle that I got back in 1975. It's the great Brady Black, fiddle player for the Randy Rogers Band. Evening.
How are you, Bush? What's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, good. Sitting on the back porch enjoying the weather.
Miss Millie to bed?
Yeah, she fought me for a while, but I think I won the battle. So
so you have bedtime duty, huh?
Yeah, well, we switch off. When I'm at home, I try to help out as much as I can, which isn't very much. You know our schedule.
Yeah. It's good to be home, I imagine. And you guys, I know, have a very full schedule. You're up over still 200 dates a year, aren't you?
Yeah, we... With that and with acoustic shows, I'm pretty steady.
Yeah.
To be honest, so it's kind of hard having a little one, but you know, we work it out. So.
Well, you guys have been in the studio for the Randy Rogers Band. The new record saw Randy tweet today that it's being mastered next week, and
it is. Yeah.
So that's what about a month away, maybe.
Yeah, we used a new producer for this one, a guy named Jay Joyce, and he works pretty fast, so he might be done in 2 weeks, but, you know, who knows when it'll come out. We're hoping for a fall release, but it's been fun. We went in about, I guess, last month, and we had about 3 weeks to do the record, and we finished it in 7 days, finished tracking. So
wow.
We're excited.
And hopefully we get to hear some major fiddle in the new album.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
You know, that's one of the cool things about your band. And you guys have recorded, I guess, your last few albums in Nashville. And sometimes when you do that, those in Nashville will say, okay, well, we've got the singers here for backup parts and things like that. You guys are really true to your music. And you and Jeffrey sing backup, you know, when you guys are singing live. So why wouldn't you sing it when you record an album?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. Jeff and I sang the harmonies on every track, and we brought in a few special guests for a verse or two. But yeah, we did it all ourselves. All the all the guitar gear on the record is Jeff, and of course I did all the fiddle. It's something that, you know, a lot of Nashville bands don't get to do, which is play on the records. It's a shame.
It's Brady Black, the fiddle player for the Randy Rogers Band, with us here on the late night ticket. Did you know we're camping out in the middle of the woods? Are you aware of this bit that we're doing here?
Yeah, I heard about this. I guess you're not supposed to disclose your location.
No, very secret location somewhere in the pines of East Texas. But it's pretty cool.
Are y'all living off the land, or did you bring hot dogs?
We brought hot dogs, yeah. But everything else, though, we're sleeping in tents. We don't have, like, a touring bus or anything like that, so we're sleeping in tents.
Hey, we started out in an 88 Suburban. You could always stay in that.
All right, so earlier today, I told an interesting story of how I, you know, got started in music when you were presented in fourth grade with, hey, here's an instrument. We think you'd be a good clarinet player or a violin player. And I got started with violin. How did you get started with picking up the fiddle? And I know you come from a family of music, so it may be a different deal. And you went to a smaller school. I doubt they even had an orchestra out there, the little town where you were. So how did you get started in all this?
Well, I grew up in Plainview, Texas, and we have football and marching band. there's no such thing as a symphony there. So, yeah, I was real fortunate. My dad played guitar all his life, and my mother played mandolin, and they would leave instruments out and, tell me that you can play that, boy, if you want to. So we ended up hanging out in the garage on Saturday nights and sitting around, like you're doing now, sitting around campfire or whatever in the backyard and picking and grinning. So I was real lucky.
And I told you this story before, and I think you were somewhat put back by it, but it's a true story. When I started playing and picked up the violin then, because it was, you know, an orchestra, we didn't really call it a fiddle much then, but, you know, I loved it, and I really took to it, and, you know, my instructor said, hey, you're pretty good at it, but then I went through a time where I didn't want to play it because, to be honest, it wasn't cool to be a fiddle player as a seventh grade football player. and so I had to go through grief like that. And if there's one thing that I could do over in life again, it would be to go back then and just not worry about what other people said. And I'm thinking playing fiddle in Plainview, Texas, you never had to deal with something like that.
You know, it wasn't that bad for me. I was pretty, I got along with everybody, and you know, I guess I never got beat up on the bus for carrying my fiddle case to school or anything. But, of course, we didn't have it in school. So a lot of people didn't know that I played music growing up, you know. That was just another part of my life. But I can see how that would be, you know, that would be tough. You know, you're a big macho football player and you don't want your buddies to rib you. But I think it's gotten a lot cooler now. You know what I mean? I think kids are... You know, there's so many bands, like, you know, when Dave Matthews came out, Boyd Tinsley was just, you know, this tall, awesome fiddle player, and people are like, hey, man, you know, that's pretty cool. I think it's gotten an image facelift over the past 10, 15 years, for sure.
See, you'll be modest, but I think you've had something to do with that, too, especially here in this region.
Oh, not at all.
No, you have, because just in my case... Just in my case, because when I went to see you guys live for the first time, I had not picked up my fiddle in like 20 years. And I saw you play, and I went, man, I never
really
knew
20
it could...
years?
Yeah. And wow. I said, man, I never knew it could be played like that. Because it was, you know, there's so many elements to your style that's classical, but there's a lot of traditional fiddle in there, too. And I was just mesmerized, and it got me to get my fiddle back out and start playing, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, it got me to love music again.
Well, you know, I when I was playing, I was listening to everything from country to, you know, alternative rock, the Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and, you know, old classic rock, too, and I'll be honest, I was... You know, going through a distortion pedal, and I wanted to be an electric guitar player, but I played the fiddle. So, you know, that could be part of the style thing there.
Yeah. So you wanted to be cool. You wanted to be a guitar player. But okay. So when did you figure out that you were good, though? When did you start thinking, okay, this is my instrument, and I need to play it?
Oh, when they told me to put the guitar up, probably. No, I always kind of wanted, you know, to get into the music industry. When I graduated, I moved to Austin to go to University of Texas for school. And my ulterior motive was, hey, that's the live music capital of the world. I got to get down there, you know. So,
sure.
you know, on the weekends, I was playing Sixth Street, and I've always wanted to do it since I picked it up. It was just something that, you know, I was into. But I don't know if I ever thought I was good. Every time I think I'm good, I'd put in a Mark O'Connor record or a Johnny Gimble record, and I go, oh, okay.
Well, I know you've inspired a lot of people to pick up the fiddle. In fact, we just had a caller a minute ago said he wants to start playing and ask what's the best brand to pick up for a beginning fiddler, and I didn't know, but I figured you would.
Brand of fiddle?
Yeah.
Well, for a beginning fiddler, I would get the cheapest one you can get. to be honest, there's a lot of good brands out there, but it's not like a guitar where you can go out and get a Gibson or a Martin. You know, it's more like I like old fiddles personally. You know,
yeah.
Fiddles that are 100 years old, 150 years old, because they have that acoustic, you know, sound, that earthy wood sound. But it's kind of one of those things where you got to walk into a store, pick it up, and it either fits you or it doesn't. It's kind of like a golf club, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the one that you played for years has a great story to it. And I know you don't necessarily play this one outside the studio anymore, but you want to tell the story of the special fiddle you played for years?
Yeah, I was passed on a fiddle that was made in 1759.
Wow.
By a man named John Julian in Lubbock, Texas. And he was kind of a mentor, and he didn't have any kids to pass it on to, so he gave me that fiddle and with some stipulations, you know, play it every day. But I don't take it out to the bars anymore. It makes a few appearances, but yeah, it was made in 1759.
Wow,
it's my baby.
And you still play it in studio, like your recent recording session. You played it there,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And see, I really could tell the difference when I heard you play that live for the first time. I said, man, that has got the most beautiful tone to it, and even though it's been... Yeah, go ahead.
I played it on this record for the Bird Dogs. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, I was debating on whether I should tell that story. It was it was really cool. We put out our second CD, in fact, about a year ago this time. It was late April, yeah. Early May when we recorded Full Hearted Dreams, and
that's right.
Brady was nice enough to come up and played on three tracks, and that was so cool, and having you a part of that was just really special to all of us.
Oh, well, thank you. I brought old Betsy for that, but it's that fiddle's got a, well, violin. Fiddle is a slang word, by the way, kids, for violin. So feel free to call your violins fiddles if you want, but
yeah
it's got a good story. It came over right before World War II in the 1930s, when all that Third Reich stuff was going on, and they shipped a bunch of instruments over, and that's how it made it to the States. So,
wow,
pretty cool. It's got a lot of history behind it. It's an Italian-made violin.
So anyway. How did you find a good one to be on stage with now? What did you go with there?
Well, that's another story. I have a good friend named Brian Duckworth, who, if you're a Robert Earl Keen fan, you're familiar with. He he played fiddle with him for a long time, and he gave me this fiddle he was playing. I think I paid $300 for it.
Wow!
And we played in Los Angeles one night, and not to drop names, but we're big baseball fans, and we met a fan named Barry Bonds. After a few drinks, I got him to sign the back of that. So I think I'm the only guy in America with a fiddle signed by Barry Bonds.
That's awesome.
That's
I don't think I'd heard that story before. I remember seeing that on there, but wondered how it got on there. And that's the thing, you guys are all big sports fans, too. You're big Ranger fans, and it's not unusual to see you guys out at a Ranger or Cowboy game.
We love it. I'll be at least four or five Cowboy games coming up this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. But yeah, and loving the Rangers right now, minus the road trip.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of series, but outside of that, it's been a heck of a start.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, hey,
we love baseball. We sit down and watch it in the bus right before the show every night.
Well, hey, I appreciate the time tonight, and look forward to seeing you. I have not seen you guys play in forever, so next time you're within 60 miles, I'm going to come see you and hang out a little bit.
Come out. I'll show you the back of that fiddle.
All right, man. Be safe. Good watch to talk out, to you.
Watch out for tigers and bears out there.
We will.
Okay.
All right, see you, Brady.
Thanks.
That is
bye-bye.
The great Brady Black, fiddle player for the Randy Rogers Band, with us here on the ticket. All right, we'll do one more segment for the late night Texas music extravaganza, and then we'll try to get some sleep here amongst the bears, raccoons, and bullfrogs. Sports Radio 1310. Got 10 right here. Yeah, I'll do Tony. It's the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. It's the Texas music extravaganza. Giorgio with you. Thanks to Wade Bowen, Brady Black for jumping on with us tonight to talk a little Texas music. Talk to Wade Bowen about when he's next coming to town, and it is the Taste of Addison, May 18th, and Wade's going to play that night in Addison with the guy you're hearing right now, Casey Donahue. Casey Donahue Band out there as well that night. Casey's one of my buddies from the Texas music scene. Another one's been really kind to the Bird Dogs. Great dude. He and his wife, Melinda, pretty incredible story, how they've built their success story, Texas music, here over the last decade, and yeah, that'd be a good show to catch. Taste of Addison on May 18th with Wade and Casey. All right, we'll stay up for a little bit longer, maybe run through a few more calls. I know some P1s are absolutely loving this. Some are thinking this is pretty much radio anthrax, but that's what you get with the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. It's not the programming that you normally hear, 5:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. But it's different, and it's usually something that we wanted to do. Junior wanted to do a coast-to-coast show. Tomorrow we're going to have Mavericks Theater 2000, or 3000, whatever the heck the name of that show was. We'll have, I'm sure, some hot sports opinions after the Mavericks and Thunder Game 3. You never know what you may hear from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. All right, we got Bill in Denver. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Hey, Jeb, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Really enjoying this, but I was going to tell you, I wanted to just give you a recommendation, but also tell you thank you for recommending some cool stuff. Like I bought the Casey Donahue last CD, the Sunny Sweeney from a table. It was just incredible.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Well, and that was you on the air and some other bands, and I was going to tell you, this guy, I'm not a huge fan of anything else he's put out, but as you're a songwriter, I thought you'd probably enjoy this. It's he's an artist, Ray LaMontagne.
Yeah.
But his album that he does with the band Pariah Dogs is just absolutely incredible. And I think as a songwriter, you just absolutely dig it. And I don't know about his other stuff, the more poppy stuff, but this is more country folk or something like that, but it's just, it's got fiddle and steel guitar, lap guitar. It's just a fabulous album. Every time I listen to it, it's got just full songs on it. But I keep thinking George, as a songwriter, would probably really dig it. But I was just going to say thanks for always recommending some great songs. And anytime I talk about it, it just really is really cool to hear you guys talk about those music choices and stuff. So that's
yeah.
Cool.
Well, cool. Thanks for your recommendation. I'll check him out, Ray LaMontagne. And I'll investigate it. That's one of the neat things about it, too, is that, man, there's so much music out there that I've never heard. And I know a lot of people are like that. You just kind of get in your tunnel vision, your blinders, and you listen to the same stuff you've been listening to for 20 years, and you don't go out and listen to anything new. I'm not as good about that, listening to new music, as I was probably a few years ago. Maybe my tunnel vision now is so much Texas country, but yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. A couple of other names just to throw out there, guys who maybe aren't as prominent on the marquee, but names you may want to investigate if you've liked some of my other recommendations. Bobby Duncan is a local artist who is working on a new project with his band, The Black Matches. Really good dude, really good singer, great songwriter. And the crazy Scott Copeland, who's written a number of songs that you've probably heard from Casey Donahue, Jason Boland, and others. Scott's got a record that came out here in the last year or so that is awesome. And I've got to know Scott a little bit. He's out of Fort Worth, former Oklahoma State football player. Crazy dude, but a great singer-songwriter. Another name you may want to look up and or see if he's playing in your town here in the Metroplex in the next few weeks. Donnie, we have any other sports callers? Okay. All right. Well, everyone's gone to bed here at the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. I think I'm going to do the same. For the Texas music fans, hope you enjoyed the late-night Texas music extravaganza. Thanks to Wade Bowen and the great Brady Black for jumping on tonight. And thanks for giving us a listen and staying up late. We got to wake up early. We will be doing the show here from deep in the woods beginning at 5:30 in the morning. I'm not sure how Rich is going to do tickers. That bottle of Woodford Reserve is almost gone, and Rich has passed out, and we don't have just real reliable internet out here for Rich to get all of his info for ticket tickers. So don't miss a ticket ticker in the morning. Then Norm's going to be out here starting at 10 o'clock, Bad Radio at noon, and, of course, the Hardline at 3. Good times. Camp out underway here from deep in the woods. And keep it right here. Who knows? Gordo may wake up from his tent and turn on the microphones and get something crazy started here in a matter of moments. Or he may sleep for the rest of the night. But we do know this. We'll wake up early and start broadcasting at 5:30 here on The Ticket.